Hey guys, welcome to Online Church from STC. Just a couple of things. Just say thank you to everybody who gave financially for Thanksgiving Sunday last week to an amazing cause. We're going to count up the money and we're going to let you guys know how much was given. And just secondly, a big thank you to everybody who got involved in Streets of Light. Thank you. It was an amazing thing. Thank you to Helen Ward for running with it. Thank you for getting involved. It was fantastic. Today we're thinking about humility. And because we're cruising through Philippians, we're looking at Philippians chapter 2. And this is what I want us to think about. This is that humility builds unity, pride destroys it. So humility builds unity, pride destroys it. And if you've got a Bible, if you could just jump to Philippians chapter 2, that'd be awesome. And this is what Paul says to the church in Philippi. Therefore, if you have any encouragements from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. When we're talking about humility, I think there is a real potential trap that we can fall into. I know that I certainly do, and that is this. It's really easy to think about people who aren't humble. So I'm sure if, like me, you either have known in the past, or maybe you know now, some people who are just very good. They just have a natural gift at telling other people how good they are. They can just list all their sporting achievements. They can list what other people think of them. And if I'm honest, those kind of people generally just turn me off. I just find them difficult to be around. Sometimes I just think, I'm not drawn to those kind of people. But we all know them. Sometimes I think when we think about pride, that sense of I'm just going to pursue my own agenda, I don't need anybody else, I'm amazing. I think sometimes we can look at particular leaders and think, they're narcissists, they just talk about themselves, they're just full of themselves. Or maybe like the people that you know, they just talk about themselves, or they're just drawn to themselves a lot. And you look at those kind of people and you think, well, I'm not really like that. I try not to draw attention to myself. And so when we think about humility, the converse of humility, essentially pride, we look at people like that and think, well, compared to them, I'm actually doing okay. I'm not really like that. I don't draw attention to myself. Actually, compared to them, I think I'm okay. Now, C.S. Lewis said that humility isn't thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. For years and years, I kind of confused humility with a kind of low self-esteem, and I confuse the two in myself and in other people. So when I met people who would talk a lot about for whom would kind of share their self-esteem or low self-esteem, I just thought, well, these people are really humble. But let's think about this for a moment, because if C.S. Lewis is right, I want to repeat that quote: humility isn't thinking less of yourself, okay? It's thinking of yourself less. If I look at those guys who are full of themselves, if I think about my own levels of insecurity, and when I do feel quite insecure about stuff, and when I have, particularly in the past, when I do now, I can become pretty self-focused. And that can lead to a source of pride, because I can begin to think, well, I can't really do this. And I can begin to think, well, if I can't do this, maybe God says that I can do it, but actually I think I can't. I think I know more than him. Or I can begin to become as self-focused and almost self-obsessed through negative thoughts than I can through those guys who talk about how awesome they are. And I think it's worth flagging that right at the start of this reflection, this talk, because Paul is driving home to the church in Philippi. He's driving home the absolute importance of unity, of being united in love. And one of the ways, in fact, probably the only way, that we can achieve any sense of unity is by taking the posture of humility. So the question I'm asking myself today, and I want to ask all of us, is as a church, are we taking the posture of humility? Are we open to learn? Or do we just rest on past glories and kind of carry that as a badge of honor, say, well, we don't need to learn from anybody else because we've achieved all these amazing accolades over the years. But are we teachable? Are we humble? Are we pursuing unity? And how about you in your own life? Do you value humility? Are you pursuing humility? Because Paul makes it really clear, and we'll come to this in just a moment, that if we're to be like Christ, and that's the call, for us to be like Jesus to our city, then we have to embrace the fact that he is the very personification of all things that are humble. One of the major issues for the Philippian church was this, was that the culture was infiltrating the church, particularly how they related to other people. In the same way today that consumption defines our culture, and actually, if we're not careful, can define the way that we function as a church, for them in that time, one of the cultural issues that Paul is addressing through here is how we position social relationships. So in Philippi is a really impressive city, and it was a place where a lot of veterans lived. It was a place that was impressive. People would speak Latin, and they'd speak Greek. There was lots of education. It was a wealthy place. It was a place that had a sense of confidence about it. And one of the facets of that would be this, is that I would connect with you if I felt that you were better than me. So by associating with you, I could achieve a better status. But if I thought I was better than you, I would have nothing to do with you. So it's a really divided society. Is it a bit like a class system? Yeah, kind of. More like a caste system in some senses. But the way that you could climb the ladder is through by pursuing intellect, but also by pursuing relationships with impressive people, which would improve your social standing. And so here's Paul writing from Rome. He is under house arrest. He's in prison. He doesn't really know how things are going to work out for him. But what he is committed to do is every place, he is committed to sharing the gospel, pushing out in mission. And he's writing to the Philippian church, who there's been some issues, there's been people who have been preaching Jesus out of funny ambitions, or there's some particular challenges. And so he's encouraging them to stand firm. And he's encouraging them that if they're united in love, so they're receiving their salvation from Jesus, that he's encouraging them if they face persecution and challenges, that God wants to comfort them. He's the God of all comforts. And part of the way that they receive that comfort is to position themselves in a posture of humility to receive from God the power of the Holy Spirit, but also to receive comfort through the Spirit working among other people. And so for Paul, and Paul's view of the church as a body, is there is no division in the church. That men and women, slaves and free people, come together in the name of Jesus. It's almost like the professor and the prostitute sit side by side, united by the fact that they are loved by Jesus. So in verse 3 he says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility valuing other people over yourself. That is radically countercultural to the situation they find themselves in. In fact, in Greek culture, in Philippi, they detested humility. It was seen as a, it was just seen as a disgusting thing. You just wouldn't pursue it. And Paul is saying, no, you pursue it. Why do you pursue it? And then he says three things. Firstly, he kind of quotes a hymn, or maybe it's a poem. It says this. He says, in your relationships, we want to have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. And there's three things that we need to understand about this poem. Firstly, that God emptied himself. So firstly, God leaves the throne room of glory. Secondly, as Jesus, as a man and God, fully human, fully divine, he humbled himself. Think about when Jesus rides into Jerusalem on the donkey. Think about the cross, Gethsemane, that he embraces his posture of humility. And then thirdly, God raises him up. That's essentially why Paul is including this hymn or this poem. He says, look to God, look at the very nature of God. It's what Karl Barth, the theologian, says, that this is the very definition of who God is. Look at God's character, God's nature. Look at God's character and God's nature as reflected in Jesus. And you know, guys, as it's reflected in Jesus, it needs to be reflected in the church. That's essentially what Paul is saying. He said, if you want unity, if you want to be a sign of God's blessing, if you want to be a sign of the kingdom in this place, that humility has to be a fundamental part of who we are. So there's a couple of things that I've been thinking about this, okay? I've been thinking, what are the qualities and attributes that humble people that I've known over the years? What is it that draws me to them? And what is it that I see in them that I think we need to ask the question of ourselves, is that part of our daily existence? Is that a habit that I'm living out? So I've got a couple of things that I just want to throw out. So there's four things. Number one is this. I generally find that people who are humble are pretty thankful. So this is my experience. Entitlement kills gratitude. Entitlement kills gratitude. Consumption, we live in the consumer world. We've talked about this quite a lot already. I don't need to continue that point. But consumption means that I can live with a view that I have a right to own it. And if I don't have it, I can be filled with a sense of frustration because I don't own it. Therefore, I'm owed it. If I don't own it, I'm owed it. And if I feel I'm owed it, my gratitude is lost. So the question is, particularly in COVID-19, which is a funny old season, isn't it? How are my gratitude levels? Am I celebrating Thanksgiving? Maybe if I'm eating a meal, maybe if I'm living with a family, and are we asking the questions, what are we thankful for? Or are we just so frustrated by the season that has dropped off? Because humility and gratitude and thanksgiving are kind of linked, because gratitude kind of sees things as a gift that have been given and I'm thankful, whereas consumption and entitlement, you owe me, and if I don't get it, I get frustrated and angry and bitter, but they're two total different things. And often I've seen that people who are thankful and grateful often look at gifts from God and are hugely grateful and humble. So that's the first thing. The second thing is this. What I've noticed about people who have a humility is that they're great learners. They choose to learn all the time. Here's the thing. I'm pretty picky. I can be pretty picky about who I choose to learn from. Because in some senses, like the culture that infiltrated Philippi, that can apply to me as well. I can look at people and say, well, I know more than you. So what you've got, what can you possibly teach me? That is not a teachable, humble attitude. Let me illustrate that with a story. Years back when I was at Theological College in Oxford training to be a vicar, we went to London to a conference. God was moving somewhere in the north west coast of America, and a guy came to speak, and some of us at college knew about him, wanted to hear him. And so we drive down to London, we listen to this conference, and at the end of the conference, he does a special thing for leaders and wannabe leaders. I was a wannabe leader, and he said, look, we'd just love to pray for you. And there were too many people for him to pray with everybody, so he said, well, I'm gonna wheel out the team, and the team are gonna help. And he introduces the prayers, and he says, this is like, whatever, say his name's Philip, I can't remember what his name was. Philip was the youth worker at this church in London. So yeah, I wasn't even American. So he hadn't even come over with the team. He was just a guy from the church that was hosting it. And he said, and he'll be praying. And you know, I looked at that youth worker and I thought, he is not praying for me. I'll be confess this to you right now. I thought, I am a trainee vicar in Oxford. What can I learn from that guy? So there, I put my name in the hat to get prayed for. And who did I get? I didn't get the American pastor. I got the youth worker. So I'm sat down, my arms are folded, my non-verbal's like, you've got nothing for me, mate. Do you know, he prayed for me, boom. It was powerful. Presence of God. And I thought, in that moment, I thought, you arrogant, prideful person. You see, we can say that we've got a heart to learn. Question is, who are you going to learn from? Maybe you've been a Christian for a very long time. So you think, I've heard this all before. And do you know you probably have? And do you know this thing? There's only so many times you can hear a sermon on David and Goliath, right? Or there's only times you can hear a sermon on Philippians chapter 2. The question is, have I got a humble heart that I can listen to somebody half my age and say, God, speak to me through this person. God, I believe you're speaking. So am I still learning? And am I choosing to learn all the time? Because I think people that I've encountered who carry a real sense of humility is they're often open to learning. Let me share something else with you. I found this quote. It's really good. I want to share it with you. It said, insecurity will stop you learning and pride will stop you listening. So if I think about that youth worker, it was pride that stopped me listening. Insecurity will stop me learning. For example, competition. If I'm a competitive person, as I sometimes can be, that can make me insecure. So if I'm brutally honest, if I'm listening to my favorite podcast and they're interviewing a guy who's in his 40s leading a very cool church in America, who's got thousands and thousands of followers on Instagram, an anointed teaching ministry, in my heart sometimes I just think, I don't want to listen to that guy because I feel insecure as I compare myself to that person. But the problem is that insecurity stops you learning. So if somebody makes me feel inferior, then actually I kind of need to bring that to Jesus, back to the foot of the cross, because people who are humble generally say, I will learn from you because I'm hungry to learn. I've got a heart to learn. People who are pride will stop listening because they think they might know more than you. But insecurity can stop us learning and pride can stop us listening. Okay, third thing is this. I'll be super quick now. This is the thing I've noticed. Generally, people I think who carry a real humility are pretty positive people, okay? They're curious people. And I think that curious people are often not cynical. Now, I know from experience that I can become cynical about people. I can judge people. And I think that, and actually cynicism, I mean, no one wakes up on a Wednesday thinking, there's nothing to do today. Oh, I'll just be cynical today. It happens over time and it happens in our hearts. And it can often come from a place of hurt. So the thing about cynicism is that it means that we can sit back, fold our arms and think, I told you so. So cynicism stops us listening and it stops us learning because we think that we are right because we have been there, done that and got the t-shirt. And the thing about cynicism is it generally puts distance between us and other people. And actually, if cynicism is unchecked, it can put distance and disconnection between us and God. That we don't do stuff that we used to do because we've been hurt. And maybe you've been hurt. Maybe you've been hurt by this church, or maybe you've been hurt by other leaders, or you feel cynical about leaders, or you've tried it and you've done it and you've got the t-shirt and it was painful for you. And so you're just stepping back and you're just holding back. And maybe the Spirit of God wants to bring freedom today to say, no, draw on that sense of humility. That's that attitude that says, I've done it before. That's not a humble attitude. And it will stop us growing and stop us learning. And it stops us leaning into community because cynicism always comes with a sense of distance. And the other thing that I've noticed, and I'll come into land with this, the final thing, is that the other thing I've noticed about people who walk with a real humility is that this is a phrase that I've nicked off somebody, but they address before that people who aren't humble, or don't carry a humility perhaps, is that they address before they confess. What do I mean by that? Is it's super easy to look at other people and maybe share with your friends, say, look in their life, think, well, I'm addressing that in them, or I'm going to challenge you, or I'm going to talk with my friends about why that person really frustrates me and how they've got need to sort out their issues, and maybe it's over WhatsApp or whatever it might be, but that person's got, they just need to address it. What I've noticed about people who walk in humility is that they are people who are confessional, and they want to pursue a right relationship with God. And that can often mean having people in our lives that ask us the tough questions. The problem for somebody like me is it's very easy to be the person who addresses stuff in other people as a leader, as a Christian leader, but not have anybody or not submit myself to anybody who asks the difficult questions of me. So I have somebody every quarter to nine on a Friday. I talk to my mate Rich Robinson, and he asks me tough questions. I talk to a friend of mine called Richard England, who's a vicar on the South Coast. I'm in contact with them regularly, and they are asking me hard questions about my character, about my calling, because I don't have a right to address it in the life of the church unless somebody's addressing it in my life, because I want to live with a sense of humility. I don't want to become bitter. I don't want to become proudful. So I have people in my life that ask me those questions because it keeps me learning. And I think to be a learner, it keeps us, in some sense, it keeps us humble. So why does Paul, they're just some kind of reflections that I've been thinking about that I think perhaps questions we could ask, or ask, am I living that stuff out? Because Paul makes it absolutely clear that we are to be a people of unity. And I think that Paul, if we're going to take what Paul says seriously here, it's humility is the driving force to build unity. So I want to leave this question, the kind of questions I posed at the beginning. As a church, are we humble? Where might the Spirit be bringing a bit of a challenge to us? Because if we're going to say, well, the church isn't humble, then in a sense, we're the church, right? So the question would be, well, where is Jesus speaking to me as an individual, me as a cell group, me as a cluster, about the level of humility that we have? And what might he be saying? Where might I need to confess some stuff? Where might I need to start to be open to learning from people who are different from me, younger than me? What's the Spirit saying? I want to leave that there, folks, today, if I can. I'm going to pray for us now. Let's just be still for a moment. Jesus, you call us to become, to walk with the attitude of Jesus Christ. So Spirit of God, will you put to death anything in us that isn't right? Spirit, will you put to death the pride in our hearts? And that, Father, may we walk more like you in love and relationship with one another. In Jesus' name, amen.